Welcome to the Coda Catch Up Podcast. My name's Jamie Jones, and I just want to start off the show by just thanking everyone. I've had such great feedback for the show, and in particular, the solo episodes. Now, originally I was just going to do this show as a one-on-one with another web developer, designer, builder, but I decided to throw out some solo episodes, and I started to quite like them, and general feedback is people have loved the solo episodes, so I'm going to continue to push these out, as well as once our interviews start filtering in, they'll come into the mix as well. So hopefully you have also been enjoying the solo episodes, and I've got quite a few solos planned, so it'll be good to see if the feedback keeps coming well. And I'm surprised at all the viewers that I'm getting. I really didn't think I'd get even 10% of the amount of viewers that I'm getting on this podcast, or listeners. So thanks for tuning in and listening, and the continued listeners. It looks like there's been quite a few repeat listeners. So welcome if you're new, and if you're not new, welcome back again. Now, I run a Drupal users group, which is a monthly group called Drupal Gold Coast. And I gave a talk last year sometime on becoming a better developer. Now, this is a non-technical talk, but everyone loved it and they wanted me to record it. So I thought, well, now I've got the podcast, why not record it? So essentially, being a non-technical talk, it's just a quick overview of the things you can do to become a better developer. Now, some of these are to do with tech and some are not. But anyway, essentially, to become a better developer, I've got a few points. So it's working with others. So pairing, this is a pretty big one. Then we've got listen to podcasts, experiment, use tools, get to know your editor, learn the command line. The terminal might seem a little bit scary, but it's not too scary. Just building stuff and then looking after yourself, which is a huge one as well. This is probably more important than the rest. So the first one, work with others, so pairing. Now, more and more people are getting into pairing. Essentially what it is working together on the same project. It could be a small, tiny little bit of code. It could be the whole project. Just something where you're doing a one-on-one with another web developer. They can be more experienced or less experienced. Essentially, all it is so you can sit back and review each other's code. You might be mentoring someone in this role, potentially. Or you might be doing ping pong, which is another pairing kind of game where if you're doing, say, test development, you might write a test and then you expect your pair to then make that test pass. Then you swap over, so the person who just wrote the passing test will write their own test, and you then will have to write a passing example. So there's that. You can do these remote or in person. There's tons and tons of tools to do it remotely. You can just use Skype to screen share. You can use Screen Hero, which has just been or is being brought into Slack, so I'm not too sure how that's going to end up. There is also, if you're using just purely terminal-based workflow, you can use Teammate or WeMux. It's another one which uses TMux to allow a pairing session. Essentially, it's just SSHing in. And then you can also do them in person, whether it's just side-by-side on a laptop. It's probably better if you can have a big screen and you can sit, like say, like a 27-inch monitor or 24-inch, just so there's a lot more to see. Doing it on the laptops is a little bit trickier. It's not hard, but it's just better if you have that more screen real estate. The other thing is I recommend doing it as often as you can. So with my day job, we try and pair every week at least once, and whether that's just having trouble on something or just to pair. So it's really good because you generally will learn from someone. So it doesn't matter if someone's more strong in something and not in others, you'll generally pick something up new, whether it be understanding a problem better because you're trying to explain it to someone who doesn't know it, or you are learning about a problem because you don't know much about it and someone is mentoring you about it. So skill set goes completely out the window. The main thing is just getting in there with someone else and working on something. So definitely try out pairing if you've never done it. Just Google around pairing and you will find a handful or so of really good resources that will explain how you can pair and different things to do while you pair, stuff like that. The next thing was listen to podcasts. Now, becoming a better developer is being like staying informed. So the easiest way I find to do this is podcast, because literally if you're commuting or sitting there working, you can just have it playing, whether it's through headphones or through your speakers, and you can just listen and absorb it as you listen. Some people, it might not work. They might need to listen to it, you know, while they're not doing anything, so they're absorbing the full thing. Me personally, I can listen to podcasts as well as code. So it depends, but essentially it's the easiest way because you just have to listen. There's not too much you have to do. You're not reading, you're not writing, nothing like that. And they're full of information. So if you listen to Shop Talk Show, for example, or the Changelog, they've tons and tons and tons of information there. And then there's your language or framework specific podcasts. Like there's you got Ember, you've got Ruby on Rails, you've got Laravel or PHP podcasts, everything there. You've got ones that come out daily, weekly, monthly. So you've got quite a good variety. And all you have to do is just plug in and listen, subscribe on iTunes, they automatically come down, subscribe on your RSS feed, automatically come down. So that's a huge one, I think. So if you want to stay informed as well as know what's going on in the industry, listen to podcasts. That'll make you a better developer in the end. The next thing is experimenting. So I try and do this as often as possible. I've got it noted here to try something new at least once a week. So it's essentially trying something new. So whether it's a new language, a new library or something like that, just something that puts you outside your comfort zone, something you haven't done before, and you get stuck into it, because you can get stuck in a rut where you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. Now, you will get better by doing the same thing over and over again until a point where it will plateau. So you need to then experiment to go up another level. So my advice on that is to try it on a real project. Now, I've got a big asterisk next to that. Make sure it's not too experimental, because if it's on a real project, it's going to affect a client, which could affect their income, could affect people, it could affect your job if things go really, really bad. So if you can put it in a real project, do it, but as long as it's safe. Otherwise, try it in a side project. So a side project is probably the better option, because generally side projects, or at least most of them, might be low traffic, less risk. You know, if something goes wrong, oh, it's not too bad. So that's another way. Probably my recommended way is on a side project, because if you do it just on something random, that's not really going to do anything. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to throw this away once I've finished. You don't really get as involved or committed to it. So you won't really learn much. You'll essentially just be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's enough, done. Whereas if you put it into a side project, you'll actually want to implement it correctly, see if you can push its boundaries and things like that. So try it out on a side project. The next one is using tools. So there's tons and tons of tools out there now, whether those tools be an application, a CLI component or anything like that, just some kind of tool that enhances your workflow. So for example, Git, essentially everyone should be using Git. This is just how I stand on it. If you're not using Git, you're doing something extremely wrong. So it doesn't have to be Git, but as long as it's some kind of version control. But if you want to be with the rest of the world, at least where they are at this point, Git is where to go. Got things like front-end tools like Bower, so that'll be able to bring down your third-party dependencies. Grunt or Gulp or any of the other compilers. So essentially those task runners might compile your CSS, minify files, lint them, stuff like that. Try out those. If you're on Drupal, there's Drush. That's another great tool which will help your workflow. You've got CodeKit and Prepros is kind of like the Windows version of CodeKit. Essentially, it's a visual tool like Grunt and Gulp and Bower. Bower is kind of built into CodeKit now. Sass and Less, Stylus, other kind of languages and syntactic sugar on top of CSS. There's tons and tons of those little tools. So whatever you find useful or you might find useful, try them out. See how it works in your workflow. If it doesn't work, don't adopt it. If it does, then adopt it into your workflow. And the more you enhance or optimize your workflows, the better of a developer that you will become. The next one, this is absolutely huge. If you're a web developer, you need to know your editor inside out, whether it be an IDE or just a simple text editor like Vim. You need to know that inside and out. If you take a tradesman, for example, he knows his tools inside out to do his job really well. He needs to know it. He doesn't need to think about his tool. He just needs to do. So any kind of editor that you're using, get it to the point where you don't have to think like, oh, okay, I'm in Vim, for example. I have to think, I need to press I to go into insert mode. You don't have to do that. It should just be in your mind, done, so you don't think about it. So make sure if you're not at that point to just keep plugging away at your editor, make sure you know it. Learn the commands, learn the shortcuts. Say if you're learning Vim, for example, learn one new little command every day, or maybe in every week, whatever you find easiest. So just plug away and just slowly, slowly add that to your repertoire. And if you use it often enough, you know, you'll remember it. Otherwise, you'll just throw it out. This is the other thing. Like, I use Vim. You shouldn't be scared to try a different editor. So I used to use Sublime Text. I used played around with Atom. I used to use TextMate for a bit. There's a few other editors. Don't be scared to switch and try. Different editors may suit you a lot better. So Vim suits me now, and I don't see myself changing at that for a long time. But for another person, it might be horrible. So you might prefer Sublime or Atom or something like that. More than likely, you will change editors, especially if you're starting out. Someone will go, oh, try Atom. You might stick with that for a while, but you will eventually end up changing, whether it be a new editor comes out or you just feel like a change. I think Vim is pretty awesome, but I wouldn't recommend it if you're just learning web design, simply because it's another thing to learn. It's kind of got its own language. So I'd probably stick away from Vim at the start and go with something like Atom. But, you know, it's up to you. There's tons of them out there. You've got like PHP Storm, RubyMine, those kind of IDEs. As I said, Sublime Text, Atom, Vim. There's tons to choose from, so just pick one and try it out, even if it's just for a day, and see how you go. You might end up loving something you thought, oh, I don't really want to bother with that. You never know, so just give it a go. The next thing is learn the command line. It's a tricky one. A lot of people are very, very scared of it because it seems very alien and very backwards, but actually it's the opposite. This is why I use a terminal workflow. It just works, and it's simple and it's quick, really, really quick. So there's no moving your mouse to point around. It's just a quick type. So it's being not so scary, you can make it even less scarier. So there's no fear factor here. It's just by starting with one command, learning how to change a directory and list what's in a directory. So maybe two commands, and just slowly adding to that repertoire. It's just like learning in your editor, so learning your shortcuts and things like that, just one at a time, very, very simple. If you keep at it, you'll find that you are speeding up your workflow. It's really, really quick to do a lot of things via the terminal, as well as a lot of tools that are coming out these days are terminal-based. So, for example, if you're using Laravel, you've got Composer, which is a command line tool for working with Laravel. Now, using a GUI tool with that wouldn't work too well. So using the command line, a couple of keystrokes and off you go. Same with Rails. Everything's Rails C, Rails S, bundle exec, aspect spec, for example. All these really, really simple commands will do a lot for you. As well as if you do work in the terminal, you can generally take your setup. So if you customize the setup in your terminal, you can take it with you. This is brilliant. So you've got dot files. Now have all your config in it. So get a new machine, put your dot files back in place, and you're ready to go. Whereas if you had to set up GUI apps again, you've got to go download the packages manually, change all settings, download themes. But with a terminal-based workflow on the command line, you will be able to get things set up quick and easy wherever you go. The next thing was just by building stuff. So the best way that I've found about learning is just by doing. You can watch videos, you can listen to podcasts, you can read books. The only way you're really going to learn is by actually doing it. So take Treehouse, for example. They actually get you to watch a video, and then you run a small test where you're actually doing it. This helps retain that information as well as solidifying it in your brain. The other thing was, while you're building these things, write good, not just crappy readmes, good readmes. So make sure that you explain what's required. So if it needs PHP, if it needs MySQL, how to set up the database, anything like that, any dependencies, or anything to kickstart the project. Very, very, very important. I don't really know how to explain this or give it a high enough kind of must do, but a good readme goes a long, long way. Even if it's just for yourself, you come back to a project 6 months later, oh, what do? I can't remember doing this. Oh, I've got to run this one command to do this compiling. So it's a good idea to have it, even if it's just for you. Generally, if you're building things as well, to think about when you're writing code or readmes, for example, someone else might have to take over and use it. So think about how it's going to feel for them if they come along and they're like, well, I have no idea what to do, and it's going to take me a day to figure out how to work everything. So just leave those kind of breadcrumbs in place so it makes it easy for the next person or for you to come back in 6 months' time. The other thing is to find a problem and tackle it. This is a good way to just build stuff. So this goes along with experimenting. Just find some problem you might have. So I built DevBase because I had a problem with storing information for my clients, whether it be passwords for services or passwords for hosting accounts or websites, things like that. So find a problem, tackle it. You know, it's fine. If it fails and is crappy, just throw it away. It doesn't matter. The idea is you're learning by doing. So just build stuff, get it out there. And the last one I'd like to cover is which I've titled Don't Be Stupid, Look After Yourself. And this is something we really have like a big call to arms. This is my call to arms, at least, is to look after yourself health-wise. Now, you might think, well, you know, our job isn't really taxing or anything like that. It actually is. And sitting down all day is really, really bad. So, for example, if you're sitting down all day, it's actually been proven it's really bad for your heart. So you should at least stand up or even try getting a standing desk where you can stand up and sit down. So keeping, I'm not too sure the whole medical thing behind it, but it is really bad for your heart. Making sure you take breaks, so as in holidays. I'm horrible at this. Like only when I got married recently that I took my first proper holiday in, I think it was like 4 years or something. It made a huge, huge difference. You got to make sure you give yourself time to relax. Camping is a great way. They say if you're having trouble sleeping or anything like that, it's best to go somewhere without technology for like a week. So like camping is a good example, and just chill out, relax, and this kind of resets your body clock and all your internals. The other thing, which is something I do, is take micro breaks. So if you find yourself being distracted or just feel like you're exhausted, take a break. It can be 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. Just get up, go have a coffee, go get some water, preferably, or you could even just go for a quick jog, depending on how long your break wants to be. If it's just a jog around the block, or go outside, something, just get some fresh air, whatever. Just make sure that you're taking a small break throughout the day and you'll get more done. Because no one, you know, if you work 8 hours a day, no one's going to get 8 hours worth of work done a day. You're going to be distracted. You might go onto Facebook or anything like that. So I think they say you get about 3 good hours worth of work in an 8 hour day and the rest is just all crappy. But if you take small breaks here and there, so it can be just a couple minutes, you'll actually get a lot more done. The other thing was exercising, like a morning jog or even just a stroll, like a walk. It's been proven to kind of excite your brain and get it working, as well as it just helps with that fitness kind of thing and making sure you're keeping healthy, as well as getting in the sun. So making sure you actually do see the sun, you know, the big bright ball in the sky. A lot of us, especially in some countries, you might go to work in the dark and come out of work in the dark. But it's really good to make sure you go get some sun, get some vitamin D, just not too much. Don't go and spend like all day in the sun without sunscreen or anything like that. But just make sure you do get some sun. The other thing was to eat well and get some sleep. So I know a lot of us web developers become nocturnal night owls, and we can work long, long, long hours. Like I used to work really long hours where I'd basically get up, I'd go for a surf for a couple of hours, and then I'd work on the computer all day, take a small break for dinner, and then just work all the way through the night. And it's not very good for you. So definitely get some sleep and make sure you're eating well. So don't, you know, eat KFC or fast food every day, for example. Make sure that you're eating well and drinking lots of water. The other thing was to actually do things with real people. There are actually people out there. You do have friends, you have family. Make sure you go and see them. This job can kind of pull you in and you can forget about the outside world at times. I've heard of people that have just been in their house for like 3 weeks straight and have never left. How that works, I don't know, but people have done it. Just remember you are human and there are actual other people you can interact with. It seems silly, but it's surprising that it happens. People do forget to actually have a real life and do things, you know, go out, go to the movies, go hang out with friends, go to a party, whatever. So just remember to do those. But anyway, in summary of that, it's just teach and learn via pairing. Keep up to date. It's pretty easy to do. All you have to do is listen to podcasts. That'll get you most of the way. Go outside of your comfort zone as regularly as possible so you can learn more. Try new things. Don't be scared. You know, you can do it just by yourself. If you're a bit nervous about other people seeing it, just do it for yourself, hidden away. Know the tools you use. So learn your editors or whatever software you use, your image softwares, whatever. Learn the command line. You know, it's going to help you in the long run. Look after yourselves and just build things. You know, just do it. Just don't hesitate. Start it right now. Or as they say on the Shop Talk show, just build websites. So that's it. If you have any questions, please let me know and ping me at CodaCatchup, and I'll catch you at the next episode.